To this story, the Mayor of Wellington, Andy Foster, wants the City and the Council to get behind the idea of congestion charging to raise money for big infrastructure projects. He wants to avoid rates hikes, so he's looking at other sources of revenue gathering. Congestion charging, which happens in some cities overseas, could have the dual benefit, supporters say, of raising revenues and easing traffic in the city centre. But others say it's a deeply regressive tax that had hit the poor. A recent report by the New Zealand Initiative looked at the issue of congestion charging and called on the government to introduce it in our major cities. It found that Wellington drivers spent 118 hours in stationary traffic in 2018, the equivalent of 4.9 days, the same number as Melbourne. Dr. Eric Crampton is the Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative. Dr. Crampton, welcome to the panel.
Thanks for having me.
So, Wellington wants to stump up several billion through congestion charging. That's an idea anyway. Can it raise that sort of money, do you think?
I think that there's a couple of things going on here. First, there is a huge congestion problem across our major cities that needs to be solved. We also simultaneously have a problem with infrastructure financing and this backlog of investment that hasn't been made. I worry a little bit about linking the two too closely. Our most recent report by Patrick Carvalho looked at the international experience, and it found that when you implement a congestion charging scheme that's designed cleanly to try and reduce congestion and make sure that traffic flows freely, you can get a lot of support for that, especially if you set it in sort of a revenue-neutral basis. If you design it instead with the aim of raising revenue, then that can sort of break some of what you're trying to intend to achieve on the congestion side. You'll get the pricing a little bit wrong, and people then don't really trust as much that the thing isn't just a tax grab. So I'd be a little bit worried about using a necessary congestion charging scheme as a way of solving the infrastructure deficit. We need a different way of handling that. We've got a few ideas about that, but it'd be nice to keep those two separate.
What's a city internationally that does congestion charging well?
There are a few examples. Singapore does a very nice job with it. They were the first ones, and they keep updating it. They're about to have it's being updated from the gantries that have cameras and dongles that charge as you drive through to being satellite-based. So instead of having to be monitored by these gantries that are a little bit unsightly as you drive through them, it's all moving up to satellite.
Wow.
That one works well. One that doesn't work particularly well has been London's and Dubai's. So in London, for example, you pay a charge to just cross into downtown, and then once you're in downtown, you don't pay any additional charge. And that one doesn't really work as well because it does very little to deter driving once you're already in the downtown area. It's a nice point to make because one of the usual objections to congestion charging is that we shouldn't do it until we've had this fully developed, awesome public transport initiative. And it sounds really appealing, but it's neither necessary nor sufficient to have a congestion charging scheme that works. London has one of the world's best public transport systems, but their congestion charging scheme really didn't work. If you look at a variant on congestion charging in the United States, high occupancy transport lanes that they'll tack on to interstate highways often, on those lanes, you're either having two or three people in the vehicle, which exempts you from the charge and allows you access to the lane, or you pay a fee to get into the lane. Traffic flows freely in those lanes because the fee is designed to make sure that traffic is going to flow freely. And those work well despite there not really being very good public transport in a lot of those places. So it always feels like a way of just delaying the implementation of congestion charging by putting it into an era that might never arrive.
Okay, well, I want to bring in a text here. This is a person from Kendale in Wellington. My daughter is a paramedic and needs to travel two shifts, often at peak times, but rough to be then whacked by a congestion cost. So these people who are these workers and also other service workers will be hit, won't they?
Well, we're already hit one way or another. Right now, we're paying for congestion by sitting in queues that are really difficult to avoid, even if it's really important for us to get to places on time. And I can expect that would be especially important for people in emergency services vehicles, right? If you've got massive congestion, an ambulance can't get through. If you have congestion charging, and the way that I've been thinking about it on a revenue-neutral basis, you just take all of the money that's collected, divide it by the number of the people in the country, and send everybody a check, right? So you keep that very purely designed only to address congestion. It's not a revenue-raising scheme, and you give everybody an equal share whether they're driving or not. That way, there's guarantees that it's not a tax grab, that it's not going to be nearly as regressive as people expect, and it can encourage there to be more support for it.
Businesses in the CBD will suffer, surely.
Oh,
because people won't come into the CBD because of the congestion charge.
Well, the congestion charge will only be really, really high in cases where congestion would otherwise be really, really bad. And congestion can be its own deterrent for people to come in. If you set a congestion charge properly, it's designed to make sure that traffic flows as efficiently as it can, that you get the highest throughput on the road so the most people as possible can travel on those roads during the times that it's important for them to move through.
All right.
So that should, and it also makes it a lot easier for businesses to be able to get access to couriers and the like. So if it's really important for a business to get somebody across town in a hurry, they can still do it.
Okay, Dr. Eric Crampton, Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Caroline, are you convinced about a congestion charge?
No, I'm not. I can't separate this out of my head from a good public transport system, because I do think a lot of people, and certainly if I'm in London, I'm going to use public transport because I don't need to think about when the train is coming or when the bus is coming. You know, if I don't have to think about it, if I'm in Sydney and I don't have to think about it, I'm going to use it. When I'm in a city where I can't just go to the bus stop or go down to the train station and know that in a moment or two a train is going to come, I'm much less likely to use it. So I would be much more convinced if we were putting the money into public transport
rather than
sending it to people who weren't going to come into the city anyway.
And in fairness, I think, I mean, that was Eric's idea. I think in Wellington, the mayor's been quite clear that he sees that the revenue raised from this would be invested back into infrastructure,
which could include public transport.
Yeah, which,
and I think, listen, that ticks a number of goals, right? Like we want funds to invest in infrastructure, whether that's roads, whether that's trains, whether that's buses, whatever it might be. And secondly, I think from a public policy perspective, we want to get cars out of the CBD. Increasingly, I think that's an objective, especially somewhere like Wellington, where it's a small CBD.
Let's remind ourselves what this is called. It's called a congestion tax, right? Mm. Who likes congestion? Mm. I live in the super city. I, along with everybody listening to this right now, am utterly sick and tired of congestion. It holds up productivity. Mm. It holds up getting back to picking up a toddler from daycare. Yep. It's an extraordinarily terrible thing, and it drives a lot of people out into the regions. So the deal is, why not do it?
Yep.
What's the downside?
But don't send everyone a check.
No. I think
this is a very odd notion that, you know, someone in a place that doesn't have congestion gets the same amount of
and
money as someone
And I don't think
who
that,
is.
I don't think, you know, it's a fun idea for me, but I don't think that model exists anywhere at all. I think everywhere it is reinvested back into infrastructure and to use as a behavioural signal to get people out of their cars and into public transport.
Your thoughts on congestion charging? Do you think it would free up a city if the CBD was ring-fenced and you had a little satellite pinging your car and you get a check in the mail? What do you think?